I have two more speakers. Jim DeFreeman might be the answer. DeFrew from Tropus Networks, and I have Yudi Machado, which I also probably butchered the name, Mid-City West Community. Anybody else, just so we know how to judge our time? Well, come on up here and put your name on here and we'll join you for the list. Jim's next.
Thank you very much. I'll try to be brief. I know you've been going longer than that. My name is Jim DeFrew with Tropus Networks, and I'd like to just share with you a little bit about what our experience has been in deploying Wi-Fi networks. Real briefly, as an introduction, Tropus has been around for close to 6 years, and primarily the bulk of that time has been developing RG beta testing Wi-Fi metro scale networks. We went to market in 2004. And going into this year, we currently have over 125 mesh networks deployed. It was early on decided that the tenets of this technology was to base it on the standards. So we have radio agnostic technology, and we are watching the standards, going to the standards that this technology obviously evolved with. But right now, Wi-Fi is what's here in this real world. There's over 75 million Wi-Fi devices. You know, not just as a trio chip in your laptop, but parking meters, utility meters, video surveillance cameras, and we're seeing that being deployed everywhere. So the thing that we've done, and we've got a lot of networks that you're familiar with. I mean, the network right here from the center is Tropus. We don't generally deploy our networks directly. We go through integrators, Wi-Fi systems integrators, and WISPs, we deploy the networks, but this is our network. Pershing Square will be our network. We have a network going up in Fullerton, Laguna Beach, Encinitas, Northern California, the Peterson Trial, Milpitas, San Mateo, just to name a few. So what I'd like to do is to tell you about a couple of cases, because you know, you've heard about Wi-Fi. I mean, in fact, 2004 was the metro scale coming out party really for Wi-Fi. It was a huge year news-wise and development-wise for metro-scale developments in Wi-Fi. And Tropus was fortunate enough to be a part of that. I'll give you three examples, and I'll spend just a few minutes on each one to tell you what some of our novel view of the market is and how it's been evolving. Jasper, Minnesota is a suburb of Minneapolis. It's a city that owns utilities, and they had one reason to put in a network. They already had DSL, they already had cable, they had a digital divide. It's not an economically strapped community necessarily, has a broad spectrum of economic families there. But they did have some that could afford broadband, they had some that couldn't. And as one of the other gentlemen mentioned, they wanted to raise the level so that everybody had access to it. They wanted, you know, wireless broadband, which is what you're talking about. And the way they decided to do that was to provide economic they did that in about 2 months themselves. They acted as the integrator and the installer. Now, granted, they're only 15 square miles, about 7,500 homes, but their goal was to make it available to everyone. They put the network in, they deployed it so that all 7,500, within 100 or two possibly, they have some farms out there, but had access to the network. They had a two-year goal of breaking even, and the break-even point was to sign up 2,000 homes, so those 7,500. They did one marketing method. They sent out one flyer in the utility bill to advertise the network 6 weeks before it was deployed. And within a month of going live, they had the 2,000 subscribers. They now have 2,000 subscribers. So it's real, it's metro scale.
How much were they charging?
What they're charging is $16 a month. And you know, so that's why they have between 25 and 30% take rate with only one advertisement there. That was their initial goal. Now, the other things that they're going to do, which we're finding with a lot of these networks, is once they've met their initial need, which was to provide the internet access you know, to everyone, there's other usages for it. Within a couple of months, they're going to be adding the access to the system for the police department and other public safety agencies. And they've got other reasons for the network to be used. They figure that they'll easily be able to increase from 2,000 to 3,000 with just one more advertising on the cable utility bill. So it's proven there that it works, and it works on a citywide basis. Another example is Corpus Christi, Texas. Corpus Christi, Texas started out with a pilot. They had an 18.5 mile section of the city
for which they wanted to deploy Wi-Fi for the simple purpose of doing their automatic meter reading. They provide utilities for the city. They did that, and they did it in that zone. It was so successful that they decided to expand it to the rest of the city. They now have over 50 miles deployed, and in the process of going into 447 square miles. They're adding public safety, they're adding utilities, they're adding public internet access. And talk about education, they have some areas of the city that were so strapped economically, the school systems didn't even really have what you could call valid textbooks for their students. So what they were able to do, and another gentleman I think mentioned that we're not just talking about a wireless issue, we're talking about these things, they did come up with somebody that would provide workstations for these students, and now they have broadband. So you had kids who didn't have a textbook, and now they've got a computer, and they've got broadband access anywhere in the city to all the information that they need over the internet. So that's the common theme, I guess, is that, yeah, you had pilots early on, and now those pilots are metro scale, and not only that, but they start with one usage, and they're just expanding. Corpus Christi hosted a conference for PTI in October, there were over 250 city managers and IT directors from around the United States, and they got there for one purpose, and that was talk about Wi-Fi and what the possibilities were. And to a city, they were all not just committed to it, but saw it as an absolute necessity. And in one of their open sessions, they talked about, well, what is really the killer application, or what are the reasons for these networks, other than the ones that we clearly defined, and some of the ones that I've looked at here. And pretty much what they came up with was, you know, we're putting in a wireless cloud over the city, and we don't even know how long it's going to be used. It simply is an infrastructure. The applications are simple. The applications exist now. You've got an IP address, you can get to them. So deploying those applications is not necessarily that difficult. It's the infrastructure that you want to put in. And the last example I'll tell you about is Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is in the process of being deployed now, and they are using it initially strictly for public safety, for police, fire, and for EMS. All of their public safety mobile users are going to be accessing the network through the entire city. This is over 600 square miles. And they have nearly 900 mobile public safety users that will be accessing the network. So those are three examples that I wanted to talk about. You know, there are a lot of pilots out there. There are a lot of projects that could be called pilots. But there are a lot of real metro scale deployments. And so where you're going is doable, I guess is what we're trying to say. We deal with a lot of integrators and a lot of WISPs, and we focus our technology on evolving standards and making sure that our units work and continue with the technology. So we'd like to be a part of your project as well.
Thank you very much, and just alert you to Tara's earlier comment on RFI for city facilities for lots of little trunkless pieces of equipment. Anybody have a comment, question? Yeah.
This is a general digital divide question because three things are usually referenced by it, which are distinguishable. There are a number of people who don't even have a computer or not trained to use it, and that's been a problem since the beginning of the computer age in digital divide. Then there are people who just do not have broadband access. There's no cable on a fixed basis in wherever they live, or perhaps even where they work. DSL isn't there yet, or by cable, or what have you. And then there are people who do, but can't afford it, right, at the current rate. Do you have any general observations about those three classes of folks when you see the digital divide in these geographic areas that you've played with?
Well, the one example I gave you for Corpus Christi, we had a lot of people that were from an environment where they couldn't even afford, they didn't have to get their own access to a computer. And they addressed that in a pretty unique way. I mean, that's obviously something that they're a separate issue. What they had in Chaska was more of the example where they could get to the network, they just couldn't afford to drop their taxes. And so that's why what they intended to do was to make it available to everybody and to make it affordable at $16, and that's what they did.
Any other questions? I'm sure there may be some. Kurt?
I believe Procos has been involved in projects. using surveillance cameras for public safety purposes. Do you want to talk about those projects?
Well, here's the can you talk about those projects?
Surveillance cameras. Yeah, there's three I'll mention real quickly. You can go to Milpitas right now and you can get in the fire truck and you can go to an incident and you can see live video of the incident scene. They have a lot of accidents there at the intersections of some of the freeways, 237 and 880. So they put video surveillance cameras up at those locations and they send that video back to the fire station so they can actually respond and see what's happening before they get there. In Redwood City for the San Diego County Sheriff's Department, they put in a video surveillance system around the outside of that campus. And, you know, that trial became almost an event there of a small city scale, if you will. And it was also probably the most challenging wireless environment that you could get because you had all these transmitters from the networks going on, so that all kinds of interference. And so, I think the focus is here. And what they found is that when they put in our mesh, you were able to route around the interference. So that worked quite successfully. Video room is putting up video surveillance on all of their high crime intersections, something like 8 or 9.
Every block in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, they have fiber to a lot of those locations, and so the camera information is transmitted that way. And then they have a lot that doesn't from the Tropos wireless network. And, you know, once you've got that video back at the digital video recording equipment, that's the dispatch center. Of course, what they want is high resolution information for evidence, but also can then a compressed mode be sent out to people what they're doing in their field and do it in a way that's manageable from a bandwidth standpoint. So multi-purpose networks are the key. That's
well, we're most grateful for your comments here tonight because the time is short. We may be back to you with some other information, for example, and talk about.